I'm going to ask Don to come up, as Don's going to be bringing the message. Kids, stay put, because he's got a message for you first. So we're not going to dismiss the children for Children's Church till Don says you can go. Now, my mother and Don are first cousins, as you're probably related to Don somehow as well. So I've known him forever. But I hope you've gotten to know him as well, something that I look up to. You were a teacher for 100 years, was it? Or cover, talk so they can hear you. You're going to be talking.
Just 33.
33 years, retired teacher. And now your list of your number of grandchildren changes weekly, I think. What's, as of this weekend, how many grandchildren do you have?
23.
23 grandchildren. I've got one. Yeah, there you go. I've got one. You've got 23 and counting. Your oldest daughter, Julie, she's got 10?
Nine
children.
Nine and three quarters.
And almost one coming. And you have another one, your wonderful daughter-in-law, Keisha. She has one. Anybody else pregnant at the moment?
Not that we know.
Just two, okay. Again, check with them later in the week. It might be different. Really gotten to enjoy Don. Whenever I hear he's going to be talking somewhere, I want to be there. Whether it's sitting out in a lawn chair at the Memorial Day picnic or whether it's here bringing a message or somewhere else, didn't have an opportunity to have you as a teacher, but you were in the boys' club when boys' club was here, went on a canoe trip with you up to Algonquin. That was a tough trip. That was a tough trip.
They're all tough.
They're all tough. He took us boys, young teenage boys, on a canoe trip up to Northern Ontario, Algonquin Park, and it wasn't bad enough. They had to canoe 100 miles and portage another 100, and it was a drive up there. But then one of the boys got sick, if you remember that time.
Yes, that was pretty serious.
Pretty serious. Got sick up there, decided to bring them back. He ended up going to the hospital, and that was one of the kids you knew from the community, from school, I believe. And so he came back to Alden or to Buffalo and then went back up, had to canoe, had to portage the whole way back up to meet us up again. And that was I remember that time as well. You have a granddaughter that did something kind of special. She was on TV. Can you tell us about that? Because I'm not all aware of what her talent is or what she's done and then what she won and all that.
We have a granddaughter, Julie, our oldest daughter. Her daughter, her oldest child, got involved in the Bible Bee and has competed for a number of years. And one year she won the Bible trivia contest. So that was a blessing.
She memorized, like, the whole Bible, almost?
I think she's memorized 7 books of the Bible and numerous chapters and thousands of verses. I don't know how many.
Quite an accomplishment. And it somehow, I think it stems from you and your wife. How long has your wife put up with you? How long has your wife put up with you now for you?
47 years.
47 years, yeah. My goodness. Paulette, you are? Yeah, there you go. As they say, behind every good man is a better woman, and there she is. The last time you spoke, I believe, was up here, but it wasn't on a Sunday service. Do you remember the last time you were speaking in church here?
I think that was a historical society meeting topic.
That was. The Alden Historical Society asked to do a church history, and so Don gave that, and that was pretty full in here. It was a packed house that came to hear Don give the church history on Alden Mennonite Church. Wonderful job, which we're looking for phase two and the third follow-up to that as well, because that was just the first, and so there's more to come, I hope, on that.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's as good as commitment as I can get. All right, well, I'm going to pray for you, Don. We just got to know him a little bit more than hopefully maybe you did before, but I'd like to pray for you this morning. Lord, not only a family member, but a child of you, Lord, a friend and family member to many here. Lord, I thank you for how you worked in the lives of Don and Paulette and their family, their children, the history, but also, Lord, the future that you've laid out before them and before us, before each and every one of us here. Lord, now as Don brings words that you've placed on his heart and as this message has been percolating inside him and in his heart and in his mind, Lord, they may bring it boldly and it may be words that we need to hear, that the children may need to hear, that it might soak in to open hearts, Lord, that our hearts might be open to what you have for us as well. Just continue to bless Don and the people he comes in contact with, Lord, that he may be the hands and feet of you as he strived to be in his daily walk, Lord. We thank you and give this rest of the service to you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Don.
Children, would you come up?
Well, good morning, kids. Boy, you guys look pretty good up here. My name is Don. You can call me Mr. Don, okay? And I want to thank you for coming to church today. Oh, here we got some more. Anybody else coming up? Oh, is that Maya? Okay. So I wanted to give you a test today. Do you guys like tests?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Most of my students never like tests, but I thought I would give you a test today. So I have some questions that you have to answer. Are you ready? Okay. I want you to raise your hand if you like church. Do any of you like church? Oh, that's pretty good. Okay. Second question. Do you like to sing? A lot of singers. Very good. And do you like sermons? Oh, not so many hands going up. That's not good. I gotta give a sermon today. All right, we'll go to the fourth question, okay? Do you like children's church? Oh, all right, you like children's church. Do you like rules? Do you like rules? Well, you're strange kids. You like rules. All right. Do you have any rules in your house? You do. All right. I want to know what the rules are. What's one of your rules?
You have to obey your parents.
Obey your parents. What's your rule?
Clean up every mess you make.
Cleaning up every mess you make. Anybody else have a rule?
Taking out trash.
Taking out the trash. Jaren, what's your rule?
Doing good things to do to others.
Whoa, doing good things to others. Okay. Well, you guys like rules. That's very un-American. That's not really culturally correct. Which one do you like?
My rule is...
I'm going to come back and take out the what?
Recycling.
Recycling, okay. What do you like? I'll come back. We'll come back. I got to go to question number six, because the big people, they want a sermon. They're crazy, okay? So how many rules do you have in your house? You have some rules. Do you have five rules? Raise your hand if you've got five rules in your house. Is no playing in the street, is that one of the rules? Okay. And wearing a helmet when you ride a bike, is that a rule? Okay. Who makes the rules in your house? Mom and dad and parents. Is dad like a king? He made the rules? Mom's like a queen? Is your dad a dictator and he made the rules? Is he the president? Well, who let your dad and mom make the rules? God did. Okay.
Your dad's not a policeman, is he? All right. I mean, they make a lot of rules, right? The policemen? Okay. What happens when you break a rule? You get in trouble.
And you have to suffer a consequence.
You have to suffer a consequence. Well, the next question is, what is the penalty? I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been spanked. Whoa. I think we better call social services. What are some of the other punishments? Do you ever get sent to your room? You're sent to the corner? Do you have to wear a hat? Okay. You have punishments. You must have very tough parents. Now, do your parents have 10 rules in the house? I've got to preach this morning or talk this morning about 10 rules in the Bible. You ever hear of those 10 rules in the Bible? The Ten Commandments. Very good. Okay. Now, when you break the rule in your house, do you lose your place in the family? Do you get kicked out? You have never been kicked out of the house. Have you been exiled? Excommunicated? Have you been shunned? Have you lost your name? Okay, so your parents have these rules, and they're pretty tough on you, but they seem to love you anyway, even when you break the rules. Wow. You haven't been banned, shunned, kicked out, ostracized, or exiled. Are the rules in your home listed? Are they listed on the refrigerator? What, did you memorize them? You guys have good memories. Wow. Are you going to make rules for your kids when you have children someday? You're going to make some rules. You don't want to be a mom. Okay. Well, I'm going to have some of you talk to your parents about that. How many of you can read? Okay. And a couple of you don't know how to read yet. You're still learning how to read. All right. All right, before I send you on, I want to read to you the 10 rules that God gave his people. Can you listen to 10 rules? And then I want to ask you some questions about these 10 rules. The 10 commandments. You shall have no other gods before me, before God, the true God. You don't have any other gods in your house, do you? Good. I'm glad you don't have a TV. I'm glad you don't have any iPads or any electronic devices. Number two, thou shalt bear no false idols before me. No idols in your house. Okay. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. No swearing. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So you guys don't do any work on Sunday. Okay. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. You honor them, you obey them, you listen to them. Thou shalt not kill. No killing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No adultery. Thou shalt not steal. No stealing. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Okay. Now, I'm betting that you don't know what some of those words mean. So your homework assignment, when you get home today, is to ask Mom and Dad to explain the Ten Commandments. Okay? Before you go, I'd like to pray for you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, this morning, we ask that you encircle these children with your love. Give them protection. Protection from evil, Father. That is all about us in our world today. From our culture, from the lies of the devil. Father, I ask that you protect them from swearing, from divorce, from lust, from murder, from addiction. Father, I pray that you make, that they may make you the Lord of their life, that they have no idols before you. And Father, I pray that we as parents and grandparents might model your will and your word faithfully to the end. Amen. Now, I got one more question before you go. What if we change one of the rules today? I'm going to ask you to vote on it, okay? Instead of you going to children's church, let's release them. We'll send them to children's church, and you stay here for the sermon. What do you think? All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed? I think you guys want to go to children's church. Okay, you're dismissed. Thank you. I'm forgetting an awful lot this morning. I forgot to bring pictures to church about the Heritage Museum up in Croghan. And I just forgot to give the kids the handout. I have a copy of the Ten Commandments I wanted them to take with them. Because maybe they should be posted in your homes. And maybe we should all post the Ten Commandments. Because our schools can't hardly post them anymore. And our government buildings are being harassed having them posted. But we can still talk about them in the church. So that's exciting, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the Ten Commandments. Would you open your Bibles, please? And we'll read the Ten Commandments. I read to the children an abbreviated form of the Ten Commandments. There are a few more words in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. And sometimes we don't like to read the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And we don't like to hear that too much. I visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations, and we don't think that's very fair or just in our culture. Of those who hate me, but I show loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. It doesn't give the punishment, but there's a punishment for that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, You or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
I'd like to show you a couple pictures. If we could have slide one. I don't know if the lights need to be dimmed or not. And maybe this, is this mic on then, Ben? I'm not sure. I think I've turned it on. Okay, thank you. Okay, this is a picture of Zion National Park, one of my favorite parks. And this is the best hike I've ever taken in my life. It's up to Angel's Landing, and it's about a 5-mile hike, and it goes up pretty steep. And here we're wiggling back and forth on a very steep incline to the top of Angel's Landing. Let's have slide two. And this is the way to the top of Angel's Landing. There is a person right here. You can't make it out from where you're sitting. And you have to walk across this and get way to the top of there. And it's 1,000 feet up. And you can see 2 miles one way and 3 miles another way. And it's awesome. And they named it Angel's Landing. Let's have the third slide. This is a view, a picture at the top looking down on the trail, on the road. And this fantastic lady is my wife, and she's on the way. I got ahead of her a little bit, and she's climbing up to the top, and there's some posts and a chain here. And you got to stay pretty close to the chain, and you got to hold on, because if you fall, you're going to fall a long way. I don't know if you can tell from the picture where you are, but it's 1,000 feet one way, and it's 800 feet the other way, so you don't have a really big, wide road. You got to stay pretty close to the chain. And my idea today in showing you these couple pictures is that we've got to stay close to the Word. And we should stay close to the commandments. Because the commandments were given by God to Moses to give to his people. And as we'll see in a little bit, I'll read some verses from the Bible which you're all familiar with. The law and the commandments are still in effect. They're still good rules. You as parents send your children out to play. Don't play in the road. Stay away from the cliff. And your kids obey most of the time. When your kids disobey, they sometimes get hurt. And when we disobey God's word, we can get hurt. But we don't lose when we violate the third commandment or the fifth commandment or the seventh commandment. We're not killed immediately, right? He doesn't zap us. He doesn't throw us out of the family right away. He doesn't excommunicate us right away. Because my Bible is filled with stories from the Old Testament and New where God is gracious and loving and compassionate and long-suffering. And when King David committed adultery and murder, the Bible says he's still a man after God's own heart. It's okay to break the Ten Commandments. You can go out and break them today, but you're going to get hurt. And I'm going to get hurt. And I think we ought to teach our children and our grandchildren the Ten Commandments.
It's God's word. It's God's direction. It's God's plan that we don't commit adultery, that we don't feast on lust, that we don't steal, and that we don't covet, and all the rest. And there are only 10 commandments, right? No, there's a lot more than that. These are just the big 10 that Moses identified. And maybe God told him to identify these 10. The Jewish people in the Torah had 613 total. So they had 603 plus the big 10. 613 laws for the Jewish people. And if we go from Exodus chapter 20 to Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and the rest of the New Testament, we get a lot of other instruction for our good. And Jesus, when he came, took these 10 commandments that Moses gave, that God gave Moses, and he expounded upon them, and he expanded them. And now the 10 commandments are a lot fuller and more complete, and we've got a pretty good roadmap. These children do not want to see their parents have a divorce. It'll hurt them. It'll hurt the parents. These children do not want to grow up and get enticed by lust or pornography on the internet, on the computer. Our culture does not like rules. Our culture does not like commandments. I want to do my own thing. You're not going to tell me what to do. I don't want a list of do's and don'ts. I don't want advice. This is our roadmap. This is a good book, a good advice, instruction, encouragement, admonition. The Ten Commandments are to be kept. Are you keeping the Ten Commandments? Well, David didn't keep the Ten Commandments. Samson didn't keep the Ten Commandments. Moses didn't even keep the Ten Commandments. They all broke the commandments. But they're all still God's people. They didn't lose their position in God's kingdom because they confessed and they repented. If we do break the commandments, we're going to get hurt. You're going to fall off your bike and you're not going to have your helmet on. You're going to play in the road and you're going to get hit by a car. Moses came out of Egypt with about 1.5 million slaves, the Hebrew people. And they got to Mount Sinai, and he said, you know, we've got to have some laws, some rules. Can you imagine being in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, and then God brings a deliverer, Moses, and he gets them excited, and he brings them through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, and they're free. They don't have any laws. Egyptian law is gone. We're not slaves. I can do anything I want to. I think poor Moses had a pretty tough job. He had to calm down 600 people that are acting like teenagers that are doing whatever they want to do. And he had to give them some direction. And God said, come on up to the mountain and I'll inspire you and I'll show you my will. And you got to try to teach 1.5 million people to walk according to a rule book. So they were without rules for, I'm not sure, 3 months, a half a year. And then Moses had to give them the Ten Commandments and explain what they mean, flesh it out. But Moses didn't do a very good job. The Jewish people didn't get it. And eventually the Jewish people, the scribes and Pharisees, they became infatuated with the law. Legalism. Just obey the law and you're good enough. Jesus came and had to rebuke the scribes and Pharisees because they got off to one side. If you're going up the path to Angel's Landing, it's not good to fall down on the right side or the left side. You're probably going to get hurt. Legalism is not good, and free love is not good. God has a plan for men and women. One man and one woman. That's the way it was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis. For a long time in Middle East culture and in Jewish culture, polygamy. David had many wives. Not God's full will, not God's complete will, but God had to use him where he was. Our culture is impinging on us today tremendously, and it's warping us. And we're being bombarded by our culture that says a woman and a woman can be married, and a man and a man can be married. And you can have multiple sexual partners, and you can look at this pornography or this filth all day long and it won't hurt you. God's word says it will hurt you. What should we do when we break the commandments? The Bible says we should confess. So I would assume that you're like I am and you've broken most of the commandments. 613 in the Jewish Bible, in the Torah, and if you look at Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, man, now I'm a sinner. Because I've gotten angry, and I've said improper jokes, and I've sworn, and it goes on and on. What should we do when we break the commandments? Confess. How often do we confess? Do we really mean it? Do we do it publicly? Do we kneel up here at the altar? Or do we confess in our closet at home? Do we try to hide it? Confessing means telling the truth, an honest expression of the pain and the heartbreak that sin has caused. Nehemiah 9:1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dirt upon them, and the descendants of Israel separated themselves from the foreigners and stood and confessed their sins. They confessed their sins and the sins, the iniquity of their fathers. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come up here and confess my sins and my father's sins and my grandfather's sins. But that's what they did in Nehemiah's day. Getting down on our knees and bowing down? Well, we don't do that in our churches anymore. A few exceptions. Maybe we need to do it more. Bowing down in worship and bowing down in confession. We can bow down for two reasons. We don't put on sackcloth and ashes anymore. That's too inconvenient. And we don't really fast a lot anymore either because I like to eat. And we don't write Psalm 51 like David did. Committing adultery and killing somebody. And he writes the 51st Psalm. And I've often read that Psalm when I've felt guilty and when I've confessed. Have any of you done that? 51st Psalm? The wages of sin is death. And when we violate the Ten Commandments and the commandments of God, the principles and the statutes of God, we experience death of some type. For King David, in that adultery and murder, the child died. Right? You know the passage. And David prayed fervently that the child would live. And God said, no, the child's going to die. That doesn't sound like justice to me. That doesn't sound like the American way. But in God's purpose and God's plan, that had to be that happened, and that had to happen. God's plan, God's rule book, includes sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. It's a principle. If I jump off here, I could break my ankle. If I jump out of a 10-story building, I could die. I probably would die. The law of gravity, the law of sowing and reaping. We've got to teach that to our children. We do it with their bicycles. Put your helmet on. Don't go too fast. Don't go down a big hill until you're a little older. And we need to do that with the Ten Commandments and all of the admonitions and instruction that we have in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because thou shalt not kill got a lot tougher in chapter 6 of Matthew. Adultery got a lot tougher in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you think on it, it is sin. It needs to be confessed. But we Americans in our culture today, we don't like to bow down. We certainly don't wear sackcloth and ashes, fasting sometimes. Our culture is very uncomfortable with lament, with sorrow. Comfortable tears, there's no such things. The sight of suffering is a blasphemous assault on our precariously maintained American spirituality of the pursuit of happiness. We've got to always be happy, even in church. We can't show sorrow for sin. We don't do it very much. What did the people of Nineveh do after the preaching of Jonah? Jonah 3, 5 and 9. I'm going to turn there and read a couple verses from Jonah. I don't like that clock back there. It tells me I'm supposed to be done. I haven't even started. Let me read a couple verses from Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. We had some fantastic lessons in our adult Sunday school quarterly here this past month about the book of Jonah and all the hang-ups that Jonah had. But he was still used by God. In spite of the commandments that he broke, he's still used by God. The good news is, even when we break the commandments, we can be used by God, because God is gracious and loving and merciful, and we can be restored. But we have to repent and confess. And we have to teach our children how to do that. I need to know how to do that. I need to do that more faithfully, because that honors God. Listen to what it says here in Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 and 9. Then the people believed in God, and they called a fast, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, this will probably not happen with our president. The king of Nineveh rose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat on ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. Both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly that they may turn from their wicked way, from the violence which is in their hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent with his burning anger so that we will not perish. And it worked. God listens when we repent and confess. And it says in the book of Jonah that the destruction that God had planned was postponed. And Jonah got mad because they didn't deserve it. Their sin was grievous, was huge. No matter what we've done, God is gracious and loving and he can forgive it. But we need to be responsible to repent and confess. Like the two men on the cross with Jesus. One did, and one said, no. No, I don't believe that guy. I don't believe this word. I don't believe his teachings. I got about a 15-minute lecture on what it means to keep the commandments. Just a
little snippet of it. Did King David keep the commandments? And there are two answers. No, he didn't. And yes, he did. It depends on how you define keep. Did he keep the commandments? Well, he broke the commandments. He broke two of them for sure. But he did keep them in the sense that he valued them, he honored them, he respected them, he knew he did wrong. He repented. So he kept the Ten Commandments. Is our culture keeping the Ten Commandments? No. Our culture is throwing the Bible out of school, the commandments off of our buildings, or they want to. And our culture is teaching us the opposite of every one of those Ten Commandments. Lust is okay. They show it every night on TV. It's in our movies. Killing is okay. Our government says so. We are being fed the idea that the Constitution is bigger and better than this book. I say no. This book is the law. This book is more than the Bill of Rights. This book is more than the Constitution. It's more than the Declaration of Independence. It's more than our military. Our military, in Memorial Day, we honor our dead. I'm grateful for the land we live in. But don't worship the United States of America. Don't put anything in place of God. Don't worship the Golden State Warriors. Don't worship the Atlanta Falcons. I was sick in Florida this year. I watched the Super Bowl, and it was a great game. But then I watched a little bit of it, and Bernie Kristner and I were sitting in my living room in Florida, and they were celebrating. And I like to celebrate. But then they were carrying it, and they were holding their arms up, and they were kissing the cup. They might as well bow down to it. I like to win in sports, but do we have to kiss the trophy? I think our country and our culture has all kinds of idols that we're involved in. I was with my older brother and some of his family in South Carolina last week, and it's a beautiful lake. But we've got all of these houses all around the lake, and they're all probably a $1 million house. And everyone is competing with his neighbor and coveting. Well, he's got this. I got to build a little bit bigger. Covetousness and materialism. The Bible says those things are wrong. I got really upset 2 weeks ago. I don't watch much TV because there's not much good on TV. I saw a commercial. It's a commercial about Memorial Day. And the commercial went something like this. A nice, good-looking man saying that love has no boundaries. And it was put out by the gay agenda, the gay program, that we've got to love everybody. And love has no boundaries. And you can love your mom and dad. You can love God. You can love your country. And a man can love a man, and a woman can love a woman. The commercial takes the truth of Jesus that love is crucial and love is the greatest commandment, and it twists it like the devil is so good at doing, with the idea that all love is acceptable. Well, to love sexually your children is not right. To love sexually your neighbor's wife is not right. To love sexually your sister, love has some boundaries. The Bible says love has some boundaries. There's a place and time for it. So I'm concerned about the children, and I'm concerned about our church and the churches in America, and I'm concerned about my country. But my God takes supremacy, and I hope he does in your heart and mine too. Our country's teaching us that war is popular and war is good, and I'm grateful for what our soldiers have done. But killing is not the Lord's will. King David killed his 10,000s and Saul killed his thousands. But God said, David, you're not the man to build my temple. Your son Solomon will build my temple. You've got some things in your background. I don't want you, a man of war, building my temple. You're not the man. Pretty tough on King David, because David was faithful to him. He's a man after his own heart. There are consequences to sin. I guess the thing that is bothering me a lot these days that I'm praying about is the fact that in some of our churches in America, this denomination and other denominations, they're ordaining same-sex partners into the pastorate. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Well, that was her livelihood. He was pretty tough on her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't say, we're going to stone you now. I'll forgive you. Go and sin no more. He can forgive sin, but not when you continue practicing sin. If that woman were to said, well, Jesus, I'm going to go and run this church in Galatia or in Ephesus. I'm going to run the church there, and I'm going to continue as a prostitute. I think he would have said something different to her. I love you. I'll forgive you, but go and sin no more. When we put two women in a role in a church as pastors and they're married, they are saying something to the children and to us that it's okay. We can't allow that message. We as a church and as Christians have been too quiet too long. Our culture is really pushing us. We are under attack, and the devil is having a field day. The Republican Party is not our God. The Democratic Party is not our God. Their platform and their agenda is not the Bible's agenda. Don't depend on them. They'll let you down. They'll disappoint you. They're taking you the wrong way. Donald Trump is not our leader. Hillary Clinton is not our leader. The National Football League should not be our God. Money should not be our God. The United States of America is not our God. They cannot be trusted to save us. They will all let us down. They will lead us in the wrong direction. Our culture is obsessed with fighting for our rights. It's demanding our rights. I don't see that anywhere in Exodus chapter 20, and I don't see it anywhere in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But our culture is where everybody's got their rights, and you have to extend your rights, and you can't exclude anybody. Well, God says if you aren't going to turn away from that, go sell everything you have and give to the rich. If you can't get that done, then you got to go away. He tells Peter, Peter, get behind me. What you're suggesting is of the devil, and you got to stop that. If you won't let me wash your feet, you can't be part of me. Jesus is pretty tough, and he's demanding a lot, but it's for our own good. I'll close now. I'm sorry I kept you over. I would like to read... I love the Bible, and I've read the Bible numerous times. And as I continue to read the Bible, I'm just amazed at the principles and the ideas for our good. I'm reading from Psalm 119. How blessed are they whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are they who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart, who also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all thy commandments. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart. When I learn thy righteous judgments, I shall keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Open my eyes, verse 18, that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe thy law. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to thy word. Verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. Verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. I can't stop. I'm sorry. One more illustration. That passage from Jeremiah, where I have plans for you. When Jeremiah gave those words to his people, they were defeated by Babylon, and they were on their way to captivity for 70 years. So they had sinned, and because of their sin, which has consequences, sowing and reaping, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And it's in that context that Jeremiah tells God's people, I still have plans for you. I have to spank you. I have to put you in the corner. You're still my people. When you go to Babylon, I want you to get jobs. I want you to be gainfully employed. I don't want you to be too discouraged, but you're being punished. God's law is just. God's law is pure. Let's try to keep God's law. Let's value God's law. Let's keep it that we hold it up as goals worthy of our God and Savior. I have a handout for everybody because I'm a school teacher. So you can't get out of here without me giving a handout. I forgot to give it to the children. If you find it of value, keep the commandments posted. Teach your children how to accept the commandments of the Lord as they accept your commandments as mom and dad, as grandpa and grandma. It's in the teaching, I think, that we often do. We're just human, and we often don't teach it properly. God bless you.